also known to many as crystal meth, is a significant health problem throughout the United States. Over time, federal regulations have been enacted to control the sale of chemicals which can be used to make methamphetamine. These acts restrict the sale of ephedrine-based supplements and medications, as well as pseudoephedrine-based cold remedies. And the most recent regulation, the Combat Methamphetamine Act of 2005, has an attempt to combat small-scale methamphetamine production throughout the United States. This federal act increases the restrictions on the sale of pseudoephedrine-based cold products. This act requires that pharmacies document all sales of pseudoephedrine and remove pseudoephedrine products from the aisles to behind the counter, although these products do not require a prescription for sale. The pharmaceutical restrictions called for the Combat Methamphetamine Epidemic Act of 2005 to go into effect in September 30, 2006. In the effort to restrict purchases to 3.6 grams per person per day and 7.5 grams per person per month, pharmacies were required to move pseudoephedrine behind the counter. So the documentation of the purchaser name, their address, the time of sale, and the amount purchased can be recorded for each sale. The law also requires that pharmacies train all employees involved in the sale of pseudoephedrine on the proper documentation procedures. This act has effectively shifted the responsibilities of pseudoephedrine sales to the pharmacy area to directly behind the pharmacy counter. Therefore, this study looks to refine our knowledge of the impact of these regulations on pharmacists' perceptions in three key areas: the time burden associated with the documentation, the effect on sales, and the effectiveness of these regulations on both availability and production of methamphetamine. Our study looked at the eight counties, began by looking at the eight counties of the greater capital, Albany capital region, using a New York State licensure database to identify pharmacies within the gray region. Because this database was previously updated 6 months prior, we supplemented using phone books and corporate websites to find additional pharmacies. And, of course, there were changes made during the time of pharmacy visits, as not all of these were up to date. All pharmacies within the greater capital region were sampled. Pharmacies for visits were grouped into small geographic clusters of 4 to 7, and each geographic cluster was randomized to a day of week and time of day for visitation. However, directly after we began sampling, one of the chain pharmacies sent a fax to all of their capital region pharmacies, which stated, "It has been brought to our attention that SUNY Albany students have been visiting our stores and asking employees to take a survey. Please communicate with your staff that per our policy, any questions should be referred to corporate communications." This, in effect, told pharmacists at these chain pharmacies to not take our survey. We therefore increased our sampling region to 9 counties outside of the capital region. And within these counties, we selected a small region and randomly chose pharmacies within that region. These visits were not randomized to day and time because of research assistant availability. At each pharmacy, on-duty pharmacist was considered eligible, and one of the pharmacists was selected randomly and asked to participate in the study. Most of our refusals were stated as corporate policy, and these pharmacies were not revisited. However, in the capital region, pharmacists who may have stated lack of time or disinterest in our study, we revisited these pharmacies and asked another pharmacist to participate in the study. This survey measures 4 key areas, the perceived time associated with the documentation of sales, the type of recording system used, was this a paper-based or computer-based recording system, the location of the sale, was this only were sales of pseudoephedrine kept only behind the pharmacy counter, or were other counters within the pharmacy allowed to sell pseudoephedrine, and the pharmacist's perception on the regulation impact on production and availability. Overall, our response proportions, we found 185 pharmacies within the capital region. Of these, 163 were considered eligible for the study, and 98 completed the survey. for a 60% response proportion within our capital region. In the non-capital region, we identified 133 pharmacies, of which 124 were eligible. 95 of those 124 completed our survey for a 77% response proportion. However, if we remove the pharmacy chain pharmacy, which sent out the fax, the response proportion within the capital region jumps to 76%, which is comparable to the non-capital region pharmacies. Overall, our respondents were about half male, 31 to 50 years of age, and white. However, in urban regions, we found that approximately half of pharmacists responding to our survey were non-white, and most had a bachelor's of pharmacy degree. Now, we'd like to point out that about half of our pharmacies are what are called high-volume pharmacies, which means they fill over 1,000 prescriptions per week. And most reported that they used a paper-based reporting system for regulations, which is actually interesting because they are pulling out a book and handwriting down the name, address, time of sale, and amount of sale for each of these sales. They also report selling pseudoephedrine only within the pharmacy area, which means the direct impact is on those in the pharmacy. Overall, the mode for time spent on recording sales was 1 to 1.5 minutes. However, 70% of our respondents reported spending over 1 minute on their sales documentation. The reported number of pseudoephedrine sales per week had a mode of 11 to 20. However, 63% of our respondents said they sold between 5 and 30 pseudoephedrine products per week. When we moved to ask them about their perceptions, a majority stated that they perceived that this was unduly burdensome on their time. And again, a majority also stated that they felt that there were reduced sales of pseudoephedrine products within the pharmacy. The impact on their ideas on effectiveness of production within the methamphetamines, they were very split. 37% agreed there had been reduced methamphetamine production, while 39% disagreed that there had been reduced methamphetamine production. And again, we saw the same with the idea of whether or not availability of methamphetamines had been reduced within the region. Overall, perceptions were analyzed among strata of age, gender, level of school, census tract income, population density, and volume of prescriptions filled per week for each pharmacy. However, no associations with these perceptions were found. Pharmacists overall felt that regulations were unduly burdensome, which is consistent with other studies having looked at pharmacists' perceptions on pseudoephedrine regulation. However, we calculated using the amount of reported sales and the time spent per sale that 80% of pharmacists spend less than 1 hour per week documenting sales. Therefore, pharmacists may just be too busy within the pharmacy area to deal with this increased time burden. Pharmacists also felt that pseudoephedrine sales have been reduced. Lots of pharmacy cold remedy makers, such as Sudafed and other companies, switched to using phenylephrine, which is not required to be kept behind the counter, so consumers may be purchasing more phenylephrine-based products rather than pseudoephedrine-based products to avoid having to record their sales. Pharmacists also questioned the effectiveness of the legislation to control methamphetamine supply and production within the area, which may mean that they need more feedback on how well this legislation is doing in finding small-scale laboratories. Overall, we were concerned about selection bias within our study due to the corporate fax. However, we found that there were similar responses in both regions after the removal of fax pharmacies. Therefore, we were not concerned about selection bias. Differences in sampling between regions. Both regions responded similarly to questions, so the sampling differences did not affect our study. An inaccurate representation of the true time burden. We only asked pharmacists to comment on their documentation. However, pharmacies are now responsible for maintaining a stock of pseudoephedrine products as well as training all of their employees to document these sales, so there may be more time burden associated with this regulation. In conclusion, pharmacists feel that the new regulation is burdensome and affects sales. We suggest that maybe a computer-based system may reduce the time burden and change their perception on effectiveness because there is a more accessible database of information rather than just paper logs. Pharmacists have mixed opinions about the effectiveness of regulation. As I mentioned before, feedback is needed from the Department of Drug Awareness, and that pharmacists need to know that this regulation is indeed working. And more studies are needed to assess the economic impact on the switch to phenylephrine and whether or not pseudoephedrine products are truly being bought within the pharmacy. And studies are also needed to assess whether or not this regulation has affected methamphetamine arrests, hospitalizations, and deaths due to changes in regulations, as the other regulations have affected these areas in the past. We continue to go to that pharmacy, and actually some of the pharmacists from that pharmacy still chose to take our survey. However, a lot of pharmacists within that pharmacy chain cited that fact and told us that they could no longer take our survey. We have not found information on whether or not pseudoephedrine sales have decreased specifically. However, there are other studies out there which asks consumers and doctors how they felt about the new regulations, and consumers felt that it was too burdensome to actually take the time to go to the pharmacy counter to purchase pseudoephedrine, and doctors actually felt similarly. We did have a sample of older pharmacists within our study. I don't have the actual proportion of older pharmacists in front of me. However, we did get a variety of pharmacists, from the very young starting pharmacists to pharmacists who owned small independent chain pharmacies that were older and had mentioned that pseudoephedrine used to be behind the counter. Yes, we looked at our database on age, and there was no association with age. And the question was, did we just include freestanding pharmacies or pharmacies within supermarket chains? We actually included all community-based pharmacies, which meant pharmacies within supermarkets, pharmacies that were freestanding, such as Eckerd's or other pharmacies, as well as pharmacies that were independent throughout the region. We did not include pharmacies that were based in hospitals or clinics. Actually, the pharmacy is not responsible for checking the log. The pharmacies are responsible for sending the log to the Drug Enforcement Agency, who goes through and checks the log and then makes arrests based on it. Yes, there are DEA people, and actually, in New York, they actually have made arrests based on the pseudoephedrine regulations. That was actually a comment made by a lot of pharmacists on why they felt it was not working, because they felt that you could go from pharmacy to pharmacy and purchase pseudoephedrine at many, multiple pharmacies, and therefore exceed the 3.6 grams per day, which is why we suggested a computer network system so that pharmacies could link into a system that would allow them to see if someone had purchased elsewhere. I'm not sure how they would know. out of the 11 studies, I do believe 7 show that there's no difference between phenylephrine and placebo. However, no one's actually looked at whether or not consumers... No one has currently looked at whether or not consumers understand the difference between the two active ingredients. Pharmacies have the right not to sell pseudoephedrine products, but we found that none of the pharmacies reported no longer selling pseudoephedrine to us. I've researched into methamphetamine-based arrests within New York State only, but there were actually 3 arrests made within New York State, very large arrests, in the Syracuse area that were due to DEA going through the logs and finding that they had purchased over the 7.6 grams per month and then arresting those people for small-scale methamphetamine production. So they are making arrests based on this law. To what extent the law has having impact, I do not know. Yes, they actually, the pharmacy is required to ask for your driver's license or some form of identification when you purchase pseudoephedrine.
The more fake IDs you have, the more pseudoephedrine.
I did read a couple studies that said that a lot of pseudoephedrine